Let me read first off, Luke the 7th chapter, the 47th verse. It says, "Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many are forgiven, for she loved much. But to whom little is forgiven, same loveth little." Now we're going to turn over. I'm going to read in the 22nd chapter of the same book, Luke 22nd chapter, 35th verse. "And he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? And they said, nothing." You know, we live today in a culture, it seems as if that I don't know about you, but sometimes I think about why church services aren't more spiritual, and we'd have to say that in a lot of churches it's because the sin is running rampant. But then you can go into communities, or you can even attend our services here, and there's times that you wonder why our church services aren't more spiritual. And I was reading this week. We drove down to Springfield, and we had Bible tapes playing, and I thought of these two things, and I think that this might be the case for some. It says, "But to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little." And you know, that's the devil's job, for each and every one of us, that he would come to us and convince us that we've been forgiven of little. You know, we find a woman here that washed Jesus' feet with her tears and dried them with her feet. Not because she was worthy to come there, but that was her expression to an Almighty God, that she seen Jesus, I truly believe, for who He was, and she come to Him, and she wanted to show Him how she cared for Him. And Jesus said unto her and unto those that were around her that was looking into despising it. We were singing about this yesterday. We got a blessing all by ourselves. I hope that we can get a blessing here when everybody's together. I know we might be tired and mighty, but we've come together to worship the Lord. Not to be preached at, though that's an important thing a lot of times. We come to church, we need to be preached at. But my prayer is that we might have a better understanding to whom little is forgiven, they loveth little. Let's think about that, though. Who here has been forgiven of little? I think that Jesus Christ is speaking of a mindset, of a perception, one thinking that he was forgiven of little, and here's one that's forgiven of much. But I'm afraid today, here in the United States, that we live in a wicked society, though we might see pictures of a godly society in the past, we see where people and sin are just running rampant. There's no one today that could come to the Lord and be born again in my generation, as well as any generation, and said that they have been forgiven of little. But yet that's the devil's job, to convince us that the Lord has done little for us. But I want to tell you today, because people have believed the lie of the devil, they love him little. But those that love God very much come together and they want to praise the Lord. Why? Because for all that he's done for them. When the disciples right there before Jesus was going to be led away, he said unto them, because I'm afraid so many blessings are being stolen today, because there are those that have believed that the Lord has done very little for them. But if we could just look, if we would, with the mind and the eyes of the Holy Spirit, and see exactly what he's done for us, we've got reason to raise our hand today. When Jesus was talking to the disciples right there at one of the darkest hours that they would ever experience, he said, "When I sent you away without a purse, without any money in your pocket, without a scrib, without a pouch to carry food, without shoes,
They said nothing. Listen, church, we could be like those disciples if we could see that though we might not have these things, the Lord is our provision. The Lord is our food. The Lord will shod our feet. The Lord will clothe us today. You know, Isaiah, and thinking about that yesterday, I don't know when dry times become a drought, but it's awful dry around here. We just out getting the cows out. And there's a little draw that goes up in a patch of woods. It's a dry branch, it ain't a branch at all. It's a draw and it's dry. There's not a spring on our on me and my daddy's place. That's not, well, there's one over on me. But it kind of trickles down. I don't really see it coming out of the ground much. But yeah, all the springs that were on our places have been dammed up and made into ponds. And it's awful dry. And I don't know how you live your life, but when I live, as I live my life, I'm looking to God. I'm open and seeking for Him, that He might communicate things to me, and that in all things, when they happen, I try to say, ask myself, what's the Lord trying to tell Daryl here? I think that's a good way. You say, Daryl, you're a seeker of signs. The Bible says that it's a wicked and adulterous generation that seeketh after a sign. Jesus Christ told those Pharisees that, not because God is not a God of signs, but because they had refused to see the signs that God had seen. They wanted a sign that would show them what they wanted to see. So there we were in the woods, like a shed dry. We got some ponds on our place that's wet dry. And there we were. And I seen a calf, a big old calf now, near 700 pounds, I'd imagine. And I seen him under some cedars. And he was tromping around. You know how cattle do. Or maybe you don't. When they gather together, they'll get all underneath them cedars. They'll fight the flies. And I will get to look. And I said, my goodness, to myself, they've gathered underneath this little tree on the side of a hill in the woods. So long, it's a trumped it down. And that the ground is wet from their urine. But as we come up there, right on the side of the hill, you got the drone. It went up on yonder past that. But right there on the side of the hill, there was a spring. We've lived there 12 years. And there's never been no water in the wet time nor in the dry that sprung out of that hill. And I looked there and I said to myself, Daryl, why would God cause a spring to spring forth right here, right on the side of a hill, in dry times that never been? Not to say I'm not trying to assume. I don't know the mind of God, but I'll tell you what it done for Daryl. It communicated to Daryl that everything's gonna be all right. We went to the farm fest this weekend, and I bought my two boys a rattle paddle. If you ain't never seen them, all it is a cow stick, and it's got this little round paddle on the end of it. With a bunch of like little BBs in it. And for some reason, cows don't like to hear that. You can hit it on the ground, or you can shake it and it'll rattle, or when you swat them with it, it makes a great noise. Well, I'm afraid today that people treat God like a rattle paddle. The boys of mine, they're kind of scared right now. They're going through a stage in their life where they were smaller. They seen the cattle, though they were much bigger than them. They seen them as objects, not to fear, but they were just there. But they've come to be old enough. enough now. That they see him as big and they see him as a danger. And rightfully so, because one could hurt you. And we tried to get the cows up the other day. And I gave Riley a stick. And I gave Levi one too. And they just had a switch. And the cow, the heifers come down into the yard where we get them up in the corral. And Levi threw a stick down. And he ran up on the hill. But Riley stood there. And he was yelling at him and swatting at the ground like I told him. With the stick. But was doing it all alone, kind of backing up. And I told him, Riley, you got to run forward some. And there he was. And you could see that he was worried. But when Darryl went to the farm fest, I seen those paddles. And I knew how the cattle were afraid of them. And I wanted to put them in the hands of my boys. Because Levi was kind of squalling yesterday. Didn't want to work cattle. I told him, you've been born unto me, Levi. This is your job. You're going to just have to get used to it. You've been born into a family of a man that has cattle. But listen, our God ain't no rattle paddle. He is as the wind, glory to God, as a whirlwind, as the thunder and the lightning. You know, I can remember as a kid, you know how it is. Oh boy, I want a rain, don't you? It's dry out there. They're saying we're going to have a rain come Wednesday. I don't know if you're praying for it, but listen to me. It's drier out there than it was in July. We're coming and we ain't got no fall grass, but listen to me. I can remember as a kid, right before the old big old boomers, the thunderstorms, the wind as it blow, and I'd cool you off, and the clouds how they would build. And I knew ever since I was a little kid that Darryl was going again, that it could be said to anybody, prepare to see the power of God in the thunderstorm. But listen, though my God ain't no rattle paddle, he's bigger than a whirlwind. He's bigger than the thunder and the lightning. Sometimes some people maybe never pray for rain. Sometimes I see his mighty power in a thunderstorm. Sometimes I see it in a spring brook bubbling out of the side of a hill of a drought, glory to God. I told my daddy, I said, maybe our times are coming. For what purpose is this? But I said it not as a man that's afraid because he's unprepared. But I said it as, behold, the Lamb of God, my deliverer. What will his eyes be able to see? Though you may not have no purse, strip, or shoes, lack you anything, can you say nothing? I can say today, I lack nothing in the Lord, that he has provided for me everything I need.
Amen.
Glory to God. The springs of the side of the hill. I don't understand. Do you understand that water runs downhill? You can be up there where it ain't had a rain in some time. Yet there's a spring around here. A lot of times springs are at the bottom of the hill. I tell you what, Darryl, all the places dried up, Darryl would have went out and prayed for a spring. I wouldn't have knelt right there. I'd have went up a ways further up that dry branch maybe. But God likes to show us in life sometimes that we ain't got it figured out, that he can make water spring from a rock. He can turn bitter water to sweet from the falling of a tree. I'm thankful that the foolishness, the Bible said, of God can combine the wisest of men. All right now. Let's see here. We was reading this or heard this yesterday as well. Let's see here. In the 15th verse of the 21st chapter of Luke. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom which all your adversaries shall not be able to gainsay nor resist. And ye shall be betrayed both by parents and brethren and kinfolks and friends. And some of ye shall they cause to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake. But there shall not a hair of your head perish. Hold on, Merle. It said that some of you be put to death. But yet that not a hair of your head be harmed. Listen to me. We had a woman this week. I'm 36 years old. I ain't never had no woman cut my hair. I never went to a hairstylist. I think that's disgusting. Men shouldn't go to a hairstylist. They ought to go to a barber. But we got a barber in town, and he's hired him a woman. He's trying to retire, and his son's there. But there's this other one. When I first walked in there, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, she was sitting there. There's another man waiting. There was three barbers there. There she was. A man was waiting, and she'd been sitting down, and she jumped up, ready to cut my hair. And I said, I'll wait for him. But why? Because, well, number one, she's a girl. Number two, she's young. Number three, I can't count right. Number three, there's another fella sitting right there in the chair. And he wasn't persuaded by her appearance to let him cut her hair neither. And so I didn't either. Then I began to think, because see, I know a little bit what it's like. When I got laid off there as a machinist, I contemplated going to barber school. And I thought about how Uncle C, she don't own the place, and she only gets a portion of that money that he charges. So I thought, now, I don't know, they're not paid by the hour, they're paid by the haircut. I was thinking, how many people's going to be sitting there? She's spending 8 hours or more there, and how many heads of hair is she going to be able to cut? So anyway, I went there, and I told her, once again, I come in, and there's just two there today, and she stood up, and I said, hold on, because I had to go to the bathroom. I got in the bathroom, and I thought, well, now is she going to take that hold on to me? Hold on, I use the bathroom so I can cut your hair, or hold on, you ain't doing it. Well, anyhow, I didn't want to be able to tell her no again. So I come back out there, and she's standing there looking. You know how somebody, that's the way I was when I was a young machinist. I couldn't wait to make a part out of a chunk of steel. And there she was. And I just hope she cut my hair a little bit more general than I'd be along steel. But anyhow, I sat there in the chair. I said, I'm 36 years old and I ain't never had a woman cut my hair. She said, really? She said, well, I'm going to try to do it just like you want it. We begin to talk. She said she's from Rose Spring. And I said, really? Well, we live down there at a toward competition. She said, oh, do your kids go to Grove Avenue? I said, my wife homeschools. She said, oh, really? You must have a lot of kids. I was like, kind of caught me funny. And I said, well, no, just four. But she said, because I work from Vermont, and I used to know a family, and they homeschooled and they had 9 kids. I begin to think about that. But when you said homeschooler to this woman, she had a picture in her mind of a house full of kids. Well, listen to me. When you say Christian today, what's the picture that the world gives? My desire is that they know me and they see my life. That they might see what though he have not a purse, a script, or shoes. That he lacks nothing. That he loves God because God has forgave him of much. That he has a desire to serve the Lord in easy times as well as good. I heard that about where the parents are betrayed, the kinfolks, friends. Who's here that's not been betrayed because of the cause of Christ? But there's not a one here that have yet to be put to death. But listen to me, I can imagine just like we seen that spring branch coming out of the hill, Matt blessed me, my willing pride, oh yeah, it blessed me. But the same God that can cause that to spring out of a hill and a drought is the same God that can cause it to flow when my well went dry. And that blesses my heart. Why? Because my God is going to provide for me. The Bible teaches me that there's a great tribulation coming. But I want to tell you, as much as that blessed my heart, I want to think about it. When the people are forsaken by their friends, family, kinfolk, and they're being hunted down, there's going to be a love for our Lord as each and every spring branch that he causes a spring forward with each and every meal. There's going to come a point. I just want to see. I want to see more today than I did yesterday. And that we're going to be able at some point that we'll no longer care about this life. But because of God's provision and deliverance, we'll just want to be set free from this body. You know, there are those because of hatred, because of their religion, they seek to kill so that they may die and be with their God. But that's not the ways of Christ. But a persecuted church is a church that still yearns and mocks to be with God. And why? Because in tribulation, there is patience that can be had. In tribulations, the Lord will reveal himself to us. And in doing so, not only will we love him because we've been forgiven of him much, but we will love him for all that he has done for us. And with each and every act of deliverance, we'll have a stronger longing to be with him. Patience in tribulation. It's what the Bible says. I believe it was Paul that spoke of that. And maybe it was Peter. And what does that mean? Patience and tribulation. It says in the 19th verse of the 21st chapter of Luke. In your patience, possess ye your souls.
Right.
And what does that mean? We know that. I believe it's in Romans where it says a patience and tribulation. Let us think if now we hear of the words of the disciple. Lacked you anything when you had not a purse? You didn't have even a bag to put food in nor shoes? Lacked you anything? And they said nothing. What's it mean then? Oh, and it says here, as we've already read, that we might have your patience possess ye your souls. Really, ain't that all we got? You know, the world can take everything from us. It can take even life itself. But I'm thankful that in our patience. Now, what's that mean? That means, Daryl, don't get hurried. Don't get worried. No, that means place your trust in the Lord. That we might be patient in all things because we know that God is in control. That I can be patient and possess my soul in the sense that that's all that I really have. And if we turn it over to the Lord, though I would not lose everything, that I can be patient in all of these things because the true possessor of my soul, because I've turned it all over to him. him is one that is faithful, one that will keep us, and one that will see not a hair on our head. We'll be harmed. We'll perish. Yes, they might be harmed. They plucked the hair off of Jesus Christ's face, did they not, on his head? But yet, he perished not. He rose the third day, and he has promised me and you that we too can raise with him. Why? Because as he told Martha and Mary, I am the resurrection. Glory to God. He is the one. Not only raised from the dead, but will raise his children victorious. Though, listen to me, though we would be betrayed by parents, he is still yet our comforter. Though we may be cold in the dark and afraid, he is still yet our warmth. In our fortress. Oh, so many Christians. I think of, not to pick on anybody, but I think of the Catholics so much, and the priests, as they were proclaimed to be exorcists, and they chant, and they say these words. Some of them are Bible scriptures, and I'm on the run, and I see one as a little child with a rattle paddle. But my God is greater than all that I could ever liken him to, for he is God. And I'm looking one day, listen to me, he told Moses, he said, Moses, nobody's looked at my face and lived, but there's coming a day that we can stand. And because all that he has shown us in this life, for some of us, it's yet even today that this life is just hindering us from able to look into the face of our Savior, to see, as our Father preached this morning, to see them, the scars in his hands, and though we've never seen him with these eyes, how many of us has felt his powerful hand as a child when he falls is snatched up by a parent. I'm thankful that the Lord can bless us in the midst of all these troubles. You know, some might even think they're to be superstitious. But I'm not. Because in all things, the Lord would have us give him praise and seek his face in his will, as it were. I took Mama back up on the four-wheeler with my two boys. I had quite a load, but we made it. And I wanted to show her this spring. Cattle had trumped it down. Daddy said he's going to try to clean it out tomorrow. I don't know if he'll get to it or not. We got some cattle to work again. But anyhow, his intentions is to clean it out. And so I wanted to show Mama, because this is something unusual. I don't know. A lot of people don't, a lot of people don't understand these things. But you know, you buy a piece of property, if it's got a spring on it, it's worth more. Well, I have no intentions, and it ain't mine to sell, but my father has no intention, to my knowledge, of selling that. But it's something special, ain't it? To have something there that wasn't there. So anyhow, we went and we took my mother down there to see it. And I took her down there and we looked, and I was going to walk up on the top side of it, and when I was walking, I was ready to put my foot down, and there was a big old snake. Many of you know them prairie king snakes. At a quick glance, it kind of colored up just a little like a copperhead. And anybody that's ever almost tread on a snake knows what it's like. Because you've already got all your weight coming down on this foot. You've got the momentum going, and you already got your weight on that foot. And when you see that snake, as it was, some way you can spring off of that foot that's in the middle of the air and jump back. And that's what we did. You know, I guess if I was superstitious as some old timers was, of that, of this blessing or this joy that this spring brought me, would have all been done away with. Because not only did I find a spring, but right next to it lied a serpent. You know how them old timers always talk snakes and dreams, and out on the road or anywhere is always a bad sign. When I got down there and I looked in his eyes, because he is really dark like some snakes get, he's really just filthy. It's so dusty there. I guess it's hard if you slithering around on your belly. It'd be hard to stay clean, wouldn't it? But anyhow, he was so dirty because he hadn't shed out, I don't think, here recently. And I looked into his eyes and I seen his eyes, his pupils were round. And I knew that whatever he was, that he wasn't poisonous. Because all the poisonous snakes and the world has slitted eyes. Slanted, not slanted eyes. But eyes that are slitted like a cat. And I looked and I seen him. And you can trust that unless you shine a flashlight in her face. And because even a poisonous snake at night, if you like in cottonmouth on the river, you shine a light in her face. And they got round pupils too, but you don't want to trust that because it's because you got a light in her face. But you take it away real quick and you'll get slanted out of slitted again. Cat eye, we'll say that. Anyhow, I seen it was all right. And so I picked it up and we had a little lesson there for the boys about snakes and we let it go. Because it was just there trying to get a drink of that water, I guess. And you know, sometimes we run from our problems because we ain't got the courage to look them in the face. Because we think God's a rattle paddle. We used them for the first time yesterday and everything went well, but we had one heifer that had a calf and we really had a runner. And I told my dad, I said, you ain't moving as fast as you once did. And they kind of laughed. And I said, can you tell if I slowed down too? He said, he don't spend no time watching me. Because he got off the four-wheeler at some point and ran off and the cow got around him and he's running to the four-wheeler. I thought it was going to be forever before I could hear that thing fired up down the woods. But anyway, so I made that comment. And he said, well, I'm the same age as your granddaddy was in 1980. I thought about that. I was 10 years old. And I don't recollect I ever seen my granddaddy running. And thinking about that back then, I felt that men his age couldn't. You know, my boys had that paddle. And both of them were shaking it and beating it and yelling. And they were doing it walking backwards. And that works halfway, but it works a lot better walking forward. But you know, if we have it in our mind that God's nothing more than a rattle paddle than that, when things really get bad, it's just going to weight you down and you got to run. You're going to live your life most miserable. But if you think Him and know Him to be the whirlwind, the lightning and the thunder and the earthquake, you know that regardless of whatever happens, that He can lift you up with His almighty hand as if it were a wind and carry you in the breeze. And I've never been weighted down by my Jesus. But He has been a many a time an uplift and a help and the wind, as it were, beneath the chicken's wings. I have much to be thankful for He has forgiven me of much. And I love Him much. But you know, I think that Darrell truly understood and could grasp all that the Lord has done for me. I love Him more. You know, I've never been sent out barefooted. You know, I'd rather have to go outside without a coat as I would be without shoes. But you know, I'm 36 years old. And I've faced some things others ain't never faced and probably never will. And then I've not even begun to face the things that no doubt are happening to people in foreign countries. But I know at the end of every Christian's life that if Jesus would ask us the question He asked those disciples right before their darkest hours as of that point, that we could say, when He asked Lachie, and He said, we could say nothing. Let's get some song to sing. Really, what do we possess besides our soul? I heard it when I was a real young kid. I don't know where I heard it first. I remember grandfather said it a lot. But take a deep breath, folks. That one's yours. And the next one's just the mercy of God. He's given each and every man a soul. The Bible says that'll never die. And He's placed before us two ways. Which way should you go? Listen, I truly believe that Elijah, when he was there by the brook, had comfort in his heart that the king of Israel could not possess and his wealthy palaces. He ate of those cakes that that widow woman made, and I truly believe that it was a better meal than the king had that night. And I want to be more patient, don't you? Be able to wait on the Lord. When I come to church, offer up to Him a praise. Daddy mentioned it this morning about how when a little baby smiles at you, you try it sometime. Try not to smile back. You just can't do it. And because I love Him so much, my Lord, just a blessing, isn't it, to know that when He sees us smile, that it brings a smile to His face. And so many of the things that He brings in our life for our betterment, I'm afraid, makes us frown. But yet, if we could just see the loving caring that the Lord is providing for us, we would put a smile on our face. We could be more joyous than we are. It seems like sometimes people are just so down, and you know we have a lot to be burdened about. We've got a lot of lost loved ones that seem like they are so unconcerned. And that's something that we should be burdened about. But you know what? There's a time for everything. I found that when you're burdened and you pray your heart out, and when you raise up from your knees, there ain't a better time to praise God for what He's done and who He is. I'm thankful that my Lord is bigger than all the idols of this world combined. That He is my buckler and my shield.